The Ryan Reese Show from Southern California. This is The Ryan Reese Show. Post your questions using @RyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Are you ready?
Wow, this is some good bubble water. I'm plugging it. I'm just joking. I'm sponsored. Did you know that?
Are you really?
No.
Hey, dude, just Instagram them. No. You never know.
Can I get sponsored? Can we please get some bubblies over here to the Ryan Reese Show?
It's not Death Wish, but what's like the other sparkling water that's like the death something? Liquid Death? That liquid stuff's death. Good.
I don't like Liquid Death. Anyway,
dude,
listen.
Just get it sent. I got full body blankets sent, like little sleeping bags, but they're like, they hug you. And I was like, hey, and they sent me some.
Dude, I love it. I love this stuff.
Crystallizes.
All right, well, check this out. You recognize these voices that are in the studio tonight. Tonight's going to be amazing. I got Austin Carlisle in studio and Christina. Christina is one of the ambassadors of the Whosoevers, and you guys know her from the films, and she's been on the radio several times, as well as Austin, which is an ambassador of the Whosoevers, and these guys are full sending on tour. So anyway, guys, I wanted to bring you in studio because the word on the street is you've been traveling – and you guys have been connecting with different Calvaries across the states and doing some youth events, some Sunday morning church events, speaking at some rehab facilities, just pretty much kind of what we do. We go where there's need, and our hearts are always to minister to the broken and even not even people that are dealing, struggling with a lot of things, just inspiring youth to be musicians, to be artists, to be pastors, teachers, evangelists, president of the United States, whatever they want to do. But we want to encourage people, and we want to do prevention, and we want to get them before they make all the bad decisions that we all have. And if they've made the bad decisions like us, we want to let them know that their life can be transformed. And that's pretty much the simplicity of the Whosoever's movement and doing what we do. But I did get a call saying that you guys went out to Divine, Texas?
Yeah,
Divine, and then like outskirts.
Oh, scoot up a little bit more because I need you up on the mic so we can hear you guys a little bit better.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait, because you guys are out there with Matt and Mike, right?
Mm-hmm. Matt, Pastor Mike, and then Pastor Joe at Grace Calvary Chapel.
So what was the event out there? We're going to start with
There was a few. There was a youth retreat, which was two or three Calvaries combined. It was like junior high and high school.
Yeah.
And they were out at this place called Leakey, Texas. Mm-hmm. And it was like desert. And then you drive and there's like a valley of like crystal clear green blue water.
Really?
And so it was like a youth camp.
Mm-hmm.
And Christine and I got invited to go spend the 2 days there with them. And then Sunday morning, because the senior pastor wanted to be with the youth and the event was still going, they asked me to preach for at the, 8:30 and 11:30.
At their church services.
At Sunday, yeah. So
what church was that?
Grace Calvary Chapel.
Grace. Oh, yeah, I've been there a couple times. Those guys are awesome. The senior pastor, I can't think of his
name.
Pastor Joe. Yeah. Joe is awesome. Those guys are really cool, man. We've worked with them a lot.
Yeah.
So you got to hang out with them and their church. Well, let's start. What was first? The youth camp was first?
Yeah, youth camp. It was Friday night, Saturday, and then.
So who all went out there? It was just you two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
What happened? You guys got there? What was that? What was the vibe when you guys got there? It was junior high and high school?
Yeah, so one thing that's just like a funny side story. So I was in Mexico 3 times over the last couple months, and when I go there, I have like full bars, right? I'm talking like 5G, like all the things.
In Mexico?
I get to Leakey, Texas, zero service. I was like, come on, dude. But anyway, so it was really cool because the first night we were out there, they had us go to they had like probably 3 or 4 youth groups, right? Austin, mm-hmm. They had like a 3 or 4 youth groups at this camp. And
what churches? It was Grace, Divine, and what else?
There was a couple others I don't remember the names of. But when we were there the first night, they had, just a combined session, and they had us share their testimonies and do kind of like an altar call and going into an afterglow. And so Austin looks at me and it's like, what's an afterglow? I was like, well, my friend. So I was like, something, we wait on the Lord, you move in the gifts. And so, so he goes up, then I go up, and then he goes up, does the altar call. And then he's like, got three things. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was the response? What was the response like when you guys were sharing with the kids? Yeah. Were they
they were attentive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like this past weekend, you know, we wanted to be there for the full, you know, retreat because we did one here.
Yeah.
And so they could spend time with us and see us and see we weren't just like mm-hmm. some guy that comes and speaks and dips.
Yeah. But,
so we had like just got there and we literally ate with everybody.
Hanging out with everyone.
And then started giving our testimonies. And the afterglow wasn't supposed to be till the next night, remember? But mm-hmm. I was like, well, we'll just see where God leads it and where the Spirit leads it. And like Christina said, I gave my testimony and then her. And then I did an altar call, and then that led her. And then we went, like, back and forth.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
we spent, like, till probably 11:30.
Yeah.
It was past, like, lights out.
Yeah.
The kids even had free time, and they stayed.
And they stayed. See, that's when you know God's moving.
Yeah.
And they stayed.
What were the three things? I remember that God showed you the three things during the afterglow to, like, pray for. Do you remember those three things?
One was legs and hips and healing. Mm-hmm. Another was identity, mm-hmm. like sexual identity.
Right.
And then another was either oppression or possession, just feeling that heaviness of hurt. And then we know that heaviness of hurt leads to a deeper issue, which mm-hmm. is the heart, which is, well, what's been embedded in the heart. Mm-hmm. And those are three things that, because you guys have been around me enough. I'm, mm-hmm. you know, I take steps of faith, but mm-hmm. I'm going to take it if I'm sure, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, which I guess maybe not that, you know, faith is taking that step out if you're not sure.
Baby steps.
But it was just something that God was like, I clearly saw.
Yeah.
And, you know, those were things that I was praying for and I saw. And then after, you know, we did an altar call and there was tons of kids gave their life to the Lord. And it was so awesome to see, because then we're like, you know, we wanted to see who wanted to be baptized in the Spirit and needed the healing and hurt and to go deeper into that. And that's when God revealed those things to me. Mm-hmm. And for the next, like I said, 2-3 hours, Christina had like a line of girls.
Praying for the girls.
And I had a line of like 20-30 kids like waiting and coming. And every single one of those issues was addressed. To touch on one, the healing one, was this girl with eczema. Mm. And it was crazy because she had eczema and asthma, and my daughter has that.
Oh, got it.
And then the like hips and legs, I clearly saw it, but no one came to me with any hip and leg pain. That's not true. Chris, his knees led to anger issues.
Oh, and also there was a lady that came up to me. Yeah. And she was like, when you were praying for healing, like when you were praying, when Austin was praying, like she's like, I couldn't walk and my hip popped back into place and it was mm-hmm. healed because mm-hmm. she was cooking in the kitchen.
Yeah. And I didn't even know about that till the next day.
Yeah.
She wasn't there, right? She was like in the chills, you know, time.
Well, as we always say on this show, it's because we're great commissionists, and once you're reading the Bible, you actually see it when you step out in those baby steps and great faith steps, whatever it is. God's faithful and it's his grace, and you see it in the Bible, and God says preach the gospel and the signs and wonders will follow. And that's basically what happens when you go out and people move and people get excited and they know God's real, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yep.
What was the response when they came up for the altar call? Like, was there a lot of kids responding, coming up, like trying to like, go all in? Because this is the first day. Normally, the conferences, it takes, you know, like a good 24 hours to kind of crack the place. But it sounds like the egg was cracked the first night.
Right away, man.
Oh, yeah.
Christina and I's testimonies are so different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, the root of it, you know, hurt and pain and all these things. And I felt like there were so many kids that could relate to it. And with my line of guys, every single guy, half of them was what God had revealed to me that week or 2 weeks before.
Got it.
Which I was supposed to speak on Ephesians 4, mm-hmm. and they changed it 24 hours beforehand to Ephesians 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the Sunday morning, it was supposed to be Ephesians 6, and I thought it was Ephesians 4. So, God, you know, I saw that I needed to read all of Ephesians to truly understand what Paul was getting at. You know, he cut it in half. And half of those guys, it was what God revealed to me. And the other half was they were going through the exact same things that I've either been through mm-hmm. or go through, mm-hmm. you know, since I started my walk with God. Mm-hmm. And that was really powerful to me to be able to just give them an answer that God's clearly shown me, and he's also, I've experienced because he's walked me through it.
That's amazing.
You know, I saw from a young man.
Well, let's talk about some of the things. Like, what were,
and then I'm going to have the story with the medallion. Oh, like, yeah. You should tell that one. That's cool. And the image God showed you.
Let's talk about a couple stories, and I'll have her talk about a couple of the girl stories.
Yeah. Two of them before that one, there was one boy, he was struggling with coming to Christ because it was on his heart. It had been on his heart, but he didn't think he could because he identified as homosexual.
Got it.
And I could see it was like crushing him. And he said he knew he couldn't be a Christian to be a homosexual.
Yeah.
And I said, it doesn't matter what you look like, what you are, you know, here's this line. Mm. It doesn't matter. Once you step into Jesus, that's your identity. You find your identity in him. Mm-hmm. And then you go from there, and God's going to do his work in you from there.
Yeah.
But before that line, anything goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was able to lead him to the Lord and just reveal that to him, which is something that I went through. I tried to get my life all cleaned up before I could come back to God. Like, how foolish. There's no way I could do that.
Exactly.
And that was awesome to me. And then
Did he smile?
Yeah.
I bet.
Another one that was, because they were church kids.
So it's crazy. Hold on, really quick. So this kid, this gay kid, so he ended up giving his life to Christ.
Yeah.
And he's just like, God, forgive me my sins. I want you.
Well, there's no repentance apart.
Yeah.
There's no salvation.
But no, that's awesome. No, this is great for the listeners to hear that. Yeah.
Church God kids.
Church kids too.
And that's what's so awesome to me is, you know, kids that don't go to church / do, it's the same thing. Christ, you know, it doesn't work by osmosis. And so there was him, and then a light one before that story. This young man came up to me, and he was just sobbing. And he was like a bigger guy, athlete. Mm-hmm. And he simply asked, like, how to deal with his struggle with porn. Mm. Because he loves Jesus and he's a Christian, and he said, like, how do I overcome this?
Yeah.
And it was so sweet to me because that's something that I struggled with.
Yep.
And it was also, I could see the genuineness of the love of Jesus in him, and he wasn't crying because he was guilty or it was bad or this. He was crying because he knew he was hurting Christ. Mm-hmm. He knew he was grieving the Spirit, mm-hmm. and it was like it broke his heart. So to be able to walk him through that, you know, was really special for me because people don't open up about that type of thing to everyone.
Yeah, it's a very taboo subject to talk about. Yeah. But the porn thing is such a reality. I mean, you, me, her. I mean, I think everyone that I know in my circle struggled with pornography, and it's a huge thing. And as you talk about it, it sets people free. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is, people want to hide it. And that's where the enemy gets a hold of them. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. So you got this gay kid, gives life to Christ. You got this guy that just wants to be transformed because of the porn. He's all in. He's praying. And then healing. You got another one?
That healing was really cool to me because it reminded me of all the stories I hear of, you know, the Jesus movement.
What's healing?
She was one of the volunteers, an older lady, and she was in the kitchen. And so those ladies like had their break, you know, and they were like in bed or, you know, on a whole other side of the camp. Mm. And I didn't know about it till the next day. Mm. And it was just awesome for me to know that, you know, obviously you can't put the Spirit in a box, can't put God in a box. Yep. But to know that word that God gave me, that seeing hips and legs and it happening was just really special to me. To get to see the book of Acts come to life and get to see all that Paul came to life. Mm-hmm, and the last gnarly story, the past weekend was so radical to me because, you know, I'm new to this. You know, I've only been walking with God for 4.5, 5 years, mm-hmm. you know? So like, I even talked about you in my testimony, how you came along and discipled me and So seeing this stuff is like just – that's why when I give my testimony, it's hard sometimes because I'm – it's like when I first met Madi, like I was so in love with her. I just wanted to shut up about her, you know. And with this
– And the testimony is constantly changing because the more that God does.
Yeah, because the more he's revealing, the more he's shaping, and the more he's building through that, which is also something we found out Sunday morning that he put on my heart. But this – The last time I encountered like demonic possession or something like of that sort was with you.
And
so it was with you. We were in Jersey and we were at a youth camp. And I was downstairs after I gave my testimony and this young man asked if I'll pray with him. And as soon as I put my hand on his shoulder, he puts his hand on mine and like grasp it and he goes, as soon as I say this, you'll remember. He goes, this is where the darkness meets the light.
Oh.
And I didn't know, like, I knew what to do, but I didn't know. It just, like, shocked me. There's people all around us. So I just start, like, saying every name of Jesus that I know and, like, shouting it. And, like, he's, like, shaking and I'm shaking. And it stunned me, you know? Like, it tripped me out because it was like, whoa, like, I'm in this now.
Yeah.
And the security guards ended up pulling him off. Turns out he got kicked out of that church a bunch. He had like ammunition in his trunk before, but they let him into the youth thing because we were there, you know. And I ran upstairs to the green room and I go, Ryan, dude, there's this guy that's possessed by a demon down there. And I just, you know, he just grabbed me, whatever. And Ryan, you stood up. Where's he at? Where's he at? Like, let me at him. And I always remember that because it was just like you were like a general of battle and I was,
new to the battle.
And I always remember that like Paul says that we're, you know, to not envy is not the word, but the spiritual gifts, like we're to desire those gifts that, you know, and you know, the to know what the greatest gift is, that's you can't say that because the greatest gift is what is needed right then and there. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, God provides and the person he provides. Mm-hmm. But I remember seeing that in you and desiring that, you know, where's he at? Let's go get him. Because I was, fear is not the right word, but it stunned me.
Well, when you come across a demon, I think it's fair to say, you know, you can be scared. You know, fear can, because, you know, when the demonic realm manifests and you see the darkness in your face, instantaneously, most every time we come across a demon or whatever, it's like, it's kind of like a, you know, or it's overseen over and over and you see God's glory where you see the power, then you're like, let's go.
Yeah.
But the first times, I think the first five times was probably very, for me, like, oh, shoot. Oh, my, like, we're in it. Like, this is, like, happening right now. And then you got to, like, get your game on, like, game face.
That's what happened in
but
Texas.
Now, yeah, so that prepared you, you know, woke you up to the reality of the supernatural.
Yeah, and it's different, the you know, darkness. I always think of be doers of the word, not hearers. So it's different reading about it, hearing about it, experiencing it in the same room, but to be in it.
The front line of it.
Yeah. And it's that's what happened at this youth retreat. And, you know, that, like, just like you said, it's okay. And but here we go. And I realized there was only me and Matt. So,
okay. So wait, you're praying for a kid and he manifested.
Yes.
Just to be clear.
So he, Matt, who is the youth pastor there, young kid, like 20 years old, super dope dude, man. He came with you guys to Texas when you guys did the Texas tour and was like just taking
he's
it all
He's a good
in.
Bible teacher too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a dope kid. And he brought him up to me, this guy, and this guy, stone face, you know, total just not sad, not whatever, and his thing was anger, and anger because of family things, you know. Not to give details, but family stuff.
Yeah.
True hurt that was deep, you know, rooted deep and no emotions. And we began, you know, I began to pray with him after learning some of his story.
Mm-hmm. God gave you a vision.
Yeah, dude. And so as I'm praying with him, he was just nothing, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
And as I was praying with him, God gave me this vision and I told him, I see you, half of your body's trapped in like a barbed wire fence and it's all ripped to shreds and your arm is caught in it and you're you're bleeding and it's like ripped up and you're caught. And the other half of your body is like reaching out for help with your hand open. Mm-hmm. And I was praying and I didn't realize, but he had his hand clutched in real life. And I looked down as I saw that and I said, what's in your hand? And he wouldn't open his hand. And then that's when I was like, what is your name? Like, what is your real name? Uh-huh. And like calling that spirit out. Yeah. Because I knew at that point, like,
God gave you discernment.
He had his, you know, he was clutched and he mm-hmm. couldn't let go on his own. So I asked for him to reveal his name, told him to reveal his name. And he opened his hand. And he said, this is my name. And it was a medallion, a demonic medallion. And it said some crazy stuff on it.
So whatever that he had like some kind of witchcraft.
Yeah, medallion. It was a medallion on it. Or a medallion with like his name on it.
Whoa, that's
and
nuts.
So as soon as he did that, I took it, you know, and I just threw it on the ground.
He was like, all I hear is Christina. And I was like, and I picked it up and I was like, okay, we're going to keep it here.
Because I didn't want anybody to have it.
Right,
you know?
Just grab it out.
And so kicked it away and just went in, man. And getting to be used by God mm-hmm. and seeing God do what God's been doing was so awesome. Mm-hmm. And it was so awesome because this boy started to break and he started to open and then crying and then releasing. And then Christina came over and, you know, he accepted salvation mm-hmm. and then he accepted the spirit. And we said, you were designated a demonic spirit. Now you're designated the spirit.
You got the Holy Spirit.
The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And he just... his whole countenance changed.
Yes,
his
I love
whole,
it.
It's like the weight was lifted off of him. And like an hour later, I was playing basketball with the guys. And he was playing basketball. And I went up to him and said, what's that, man? What's your name? And I was like.
That was him.
It was him.
He looked different.
He looks completely different.
Dude, that's like the demoniac. Or like when you see these people because they're possessed and they have the darkness and then they just become new instantaneously. Yeah. A new, they look like a new person. Is that was you tripping out on that?
Yeah, and we were talking about Ephesians 4 that day, which uh-huh. is the new life, the uh-huh. the old man and the new man.
Yeah,
and before that, the pastor was an axe, so it was so radical. These kids got to see
the
Ephesians
book of, is all about spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and they got to see it come to life, dude. Yeah, and
that's amazing.
Pastor Mike texted me just the other night, like there's still fruit coming from from that, and I had COVID up until 2 days before we left.
That's right.
And I was wrecked. Like physically, I was COVID negative, but my body was just wrecked. But God was saying, go. You have to go. And my body was a week, you know, with her tumor flare up and COVID. So I'm like leaving the girls and I was like, I have to go.
Yeah.
And it's like, even if just for him, it was like, that's why.
And then you got to...
Hold on. Then the next day they were doing baptisms and I wasn't supposed to get in the water.
Yeah.
So I didn't, except for I was like, I asked him if I could baptize him. Yeah. So that was the first time I've ever baptized someone.
And dude, that's amazing.
And I got to do it. And it was so special to me, man. Just letting, being a tool for God. Mm-hmm. And that's my prayer when I came to Christ was use me. Mm-hmm. However you need. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's what that looks like. You said before, like, you just show up where God calls. And I just showed up. And it was just powerful, man, getting to see God, just be God.
I want to jump in here really quick because we're going to get to Christina after this. You know, as you're telling these stories for the listeners, it's the simplicity of the gospel. When you read it, when you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're seeing Jesus has given us the instructions how to live and be a disciple. The number one, he says, you got to turn from your selfish ways, pick up your cross and follow me. Daily, it says. So as you're following him through the refining process of the Holy Spirit, he will cleanse you. He will wash you white as snow with the blood that was shed on the cross. He will implant the power of the Holy Spirit in you. But then as you're reading and praying and just waiting on God for God to open the doors, then you go just like the disciples. When you see them, they went from town to town, village to village. That's all you're doing. You got invited to go to Texas. So you went to a town and then you went to maybe a pretty much a village because you went to some like camp or something.
Yeah, there is just cabins. Yeah.
Yeah. So a village, if you will, small little thing. And then you show up, you tell your story, you give the gospel. And then you open it up. The afterglow is basically an opening up for the Holy Spirit to for time for him to move. And as you do that, God starts revealing things to you and Christina. And then you start praying for people. Things are said. The atmosphere changes. People start getting delivered, start getting saved. People start repenting. And there's a little mini revival happening. And when you experience that, it's addicting. Why? Because you're like, everything I've studied in the Bible, what I'm reading, I'm actually doing it. And that's what Jesus says. He says, you'll be doing greater things than I have done. Yeah. You know, you have not because you ask not.
You have even you earthly fathers wouldn't give your son a stone or a scorpion if they asked for bread or fish. So when you ask for the Spirit, your heavenly Father will give you more.
He'll give it to you.
And he's not going to. He's going to prepare you for where he's going to put you.
Exactly.
And he's not, it's like, I would never put my daughter in basketball because she's terrible at it. I've never practiced with her. Mm-hmm. You know, I would put her somewhere where I've been preparing her for.
You know, that's good too, the preparation, because what God was doing even prior to, he was already getting you. You were in Ephesians and you were popping from like chapter 4 to 5 to 6, but everything in those chapters was everything, the tools of the scriptures that you're going to use, and he was already preparing your heart for everyone that you were going to encounter and the things that would need to be said, what you learned that week.
Exactly.
Sometimes, you know, randomly you'll run into like, you know, a situation where God will just pop you in, and then his grace will get you through that moment. But that's because you spent time reading and praying, and the word of God is already in you. But what I've seen on the Great Commission with all of us is he prepares your heart pre-event to where you're going, and then you show up and you're just ready to full send. And that's exactly what happened on this trip. We have 3 minutes left.
Whole show?
We have no. We still have
got two halves. We still have two halftimes.
Like, we still got another half. So we have Austin Carlisle in studio and Christina. And I'm not going to say her last name because I always mess it up. But they're both ambassadors. And you know Austin, he was the lead singer of the band Of Mice and Men. He has an I Am Second out as well. But I do want to use this time right now to let people know that you guys are available to come out and speak. And what I've noticed, I was just talking to our tour manager, Lucas, that you guys have been getting booked more often, more and more. I mean, you guys are still sending it, but more doors keep opening and opening. People have been emailing us and contacting you guys, and you guys are available to go out and do conferences, youth retreats. We do movie premieres. You do you pretty much speak anywhere. Anywhere the door will open, and you can book one, you can book two. We got other ambassadors, but please contact the whosoever's. Invite us out. We do schools. We do public schools, and public schools are opening right now globally for us. So get ready to full send this winter. But you can contact us at the whosoever's.com. If you want to find out more about Christina and Austin, go to the whosoever's, go to the YouTube, type in their names. You will find plenty of shows. They've been on this show plenty of times, and you can see their heart, and you're already hearing what's going on in their heart. These guys, I've known them for a long time. I've been with them. I walked along with them. They're legit. They're amazing. They're rooted and grounded in the Word. Their Holy Spirit led and filled. And when they show up to do the outreach, you're going to see God do awesome things. So I highly encourage you guys to book them to come out. Who knows? Maybe I could come out too on a tour, but yes, we want to do it. Please contact us. Go to whosoever's.com and check out our website. We have a bunch of different products that fund our mission to continue to go to the schools. We have products you could donate. However, but more importantly, I would say is that pray that God will open more doors. Because right now what we're seeing in culture with what's going on in the news and everything, I mean, there's all kinds of weird stuff happening. But people are nervous and scared. But this is the most important time for us to go and reach people and bring the gospel, which is the good news. Let them know that God loves them. He wants to forgive them. They're never too far gone.
No.
They could come. They could be filled. They could be healed and renewed and have the Holy Spirit implanted in their life, which they'll be turned on as in like turned on to like a Wi-Fi connection to the God in heaven. And he will show them what plans he has for them, what path to take. And he will transform all that stuff in their life that is destroying them, and he will make them new and put that call on their life. So pray that God will open more doors and raise up more ambassadors. You know, right now we have like 9 evangelists on the trip, but we need like 30, you know what I mean? Just to take the world by storm. We'll talk to you guys in 2 minutes. right after the break. Peace.
More of The Ryan Reese Show coming up. Post your questions at Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook.
Over the past 4 years, an astounding 51,000 students from 7 states, 5 countries, and 183 schools have responded to the gospel message because of the Whosoever's Kill the Noise tour. A 15-year-old living in today's world gathers as much information in one day as a 15-year-old 80 years ago would have gathered in one full year. Do you realize the youth suicide rate is at an all-time high? Listen, in the next 24 hours in the USA alone, 1,439 teens will attempt suicide. Every 100 minutes, a teen takes their own life. 2,795 teenage girls will become pregnant, and 15,006 teens will use drugs for the first time. The increasing amount of noise bombarding our students daily is destroying their minds and souls at an alarming rate. For this reason, the Whosoever's Kill the Noise tour is a necessity.
All right, dude, we are at the Kill the Noise tour. We're in California right now, and it's about to pop off. We're getting everyone ready. We're going to pray, and then basically the event's going to start, and we're going to see all kinds of kids come to the Lord. It's going to be sick.
Is to reach as many students as we possibly can with the message of the gospel. This is no easy task. We need kingdom builders like you to join us in this battle against the ever-increasing noise that surrounds the lives of these students. Please consider helping us expand this mission by partnering with the Whosoever's Kill the Noise Tour. Thank you for empowering future generations with us.
The Ryan Reese Show.
All right, we are back in studio with Christina and Austin. Man, that first half was legit. Just talking about you guys out in Texas, Calvary Chapel Divine and Calvary Grace in they're in Divine, and what's the other one? They're in Texas in
it's the greater like San Antonio area.
Yeah, San Antonio area. That's right, San Antonio area. And you guys went out to that conference, and it was this youth conference. And instead of doing the altar call at the end, you guys proceeded to do the altar call on the first night. And it went down, and then you proceeded to go into an afterglow where the Holy Spirit started showing up. Some people got healed, and you guys casted a demon out of a guy, and that was also amazing. But, you know, we shouldn't be surprised that, like, you know, we shouldn't be surprised with this stuff. This is what Jesus does when you're living the Great Commission and you step out by faith and you put yourself into that situation and allowing the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. And that's basically the fruit that you see. But Christina, you have another side because there's two lines from what I hear. There was the guy line and the girl line. And that's what I love about traveling with having a girl and a guy on tour, because it's such a need to, you know, because it's a whole different game with the girl stuff, and they could speak, like Christina could speak into them. So what happened with your line? Tell me a couple of the cool stories.
You know, so even that Friday night going into Saturday, you know, even like I'll touch on like, you know, a lot of the girl stuff, because basically that first night kind of just broke the hard ground with all the kids. And going into the next day, like Austin did a split session for the guys. I did a split session for the girls
at the conference. Got it.
Yeah. At this retreat. And we got to go in even deeper. And what was so interesting is that oftentimes when I walk into church settings, I always have to, the enemy will always try to keep me from talking about the things that I know God wants me to talk about, because sometimes there's just a fear of like, oh, well, they think I'm too radical. Well, they think I'm too whatever. But the Lord's like, because, you know, sometimes people in church are like, well, don't talk about that because that's too whatever. And I'm like, but there's so many people that are cutting. So like, why wouldn't I talk about that? Yeah. You know? And so that night too, like seriously, like everything that Austin talked about too, like I had a line, you know, we were going two and a half hours, 3 hours deep in with these kids, just like person after person. These were all church kids. 95% of the girls that came up to me, every single one of them had a story of cutting, had a story of depression, had a story of a broken home, had a story of suicidal thoughts. Like every single one of them. These are church kids. So even to encourage all my friends out there who are youth ministry people or pastors or leaders of churches, the kids that are struggling outside of the church and the issues inside the church are exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Except the kids in church, the biggest thing that I saw was that a lot of them struggle with the shame of feeling like they have to put up a mask that they're okay to show people that they're good in church, because that's what Satan will try to attack them with. Well, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be struggling.
You shouldn't have this problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the fact that me and Austin just came in and we just talked about it gave them a freedom to be like, oh, I could take off that mask and talk about what I'm going through. And so even going into the next day with the girl sessions too, like there's one specific story that I talked about purity with the girls, but there's this one girl that I saw even as we were eating lunch who she was off by herself, and the Lord just showed me, you know, that this girl's just dealing with just, you know, a lot of loneliness, outcasted, whatever. And she actually came up to me after, and I, you know, I shared with the girls, and she said, can we talk? And I said, yeah. She said, you know, she started crying, and she said she was struggling with loneliness and just all these things in her life, and, you know, just with cutting. And I just got a chance to pray with her. And afterwards, one of the pastors confirmed, he's like, that's the one girl I've been praying for. And the fact that when we, because we had the openness and the boldness to talk about what they're going through, that is why for them, they felt comfortable coming up to us. But most people in church will never feel comfortable coming up to you and talking to you about issues in your life if you're not talking about it from the pulpit. And if you're not addressing these issues that they go through, you know what I'm saying? And so that was cool. And so even too, like from there, you know, going into the Sunday morning, you know, with Austin, like the first service on Sunday morning, all the colorful people came. So go into that, because that was crazy.
Yeah. So this is at Grace Church.
Yeah. At Grace, Pastor Joe asked me to speak. And I thought I was going to be speaking to like the parents of the youth that were all at the youth camp, because it wasn't over till nighttime. So I had something all prepared and notes. I even borrowed the whosoever Mac or iPad. I was pumped.
I'm gonna have you scoot up a little bit more on the mic, sorry, because your voice. Oh, we broke it. Just show you.
So I was all pumped. I was like ready. Yeah. You know, half of me. You know, I've never done that.
Right.
I've always just give your testimony.
Yeah.
So I was really excited to go verse by verse. And I went out, and it was like 20, 30 of like are my kids, like fans.
Yeah,
there's
like these two girls like sitting in the back, because I went to the bathroom.
No
at
way.
One. Yeah.
At 8:30 in the morning.
Because you posted the flyer.
Yeah.
So you had your from the band you were in, they showed up.
And there wasn't a lot of like, you know, normal members there. So I'm up there like in Ephesians and verse by verse.
No
and like,
way.
And there's How'd a girl with her. So I go to the bathroom and come back, and I'm sitting in the back, and there's this girl, two girls that come in. One of them had bright orange hair and bright purple hair. And I was like, yeah, they're not from church, you know? That's the kind of crowd that was there.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And that like, I was like, oh,
wait,
shoot.
First service.
8:30, dude.
So we had a guy that drove 4 hours. Somebody bought him new tires just so he could make it.
Oh, my gosh. But, okay, I can't wait to hear this story.
So I get super, I'm still struggle with that. just seeing that I am good enough in Christ and I'm not. It's all him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not performance-based, but I was – it's a responsibility, you know. If you're up there, you're held more responsible, mm-hmm. and you're – it's a privilege. And so I felt unprepared with that, you know your crowd. I was, you know, seeing my kids there, but God ended up obviously moving in it. And for the second service in the break, Christina saw me, my blood oxygen was like 88. I was like freaking out because God said no Ephesians. So I was like, okay.
For the second one?
For the second one. So I was like, okay. So then what do I do? Nothing. I got nothing. And right as the last song's going, right before Isaac was like about to bring me up, I was in the youth room like by myself, like, ah, oh, like yeah. praying, like, yeah. you know, I have no Ephesians, then what? And I hear a little kid outside the door ask, does prosecute mean murder? And I knew he meant, you know, persecute. Even if he meant prosecute.
Yeah.
Does prosecute mean murder? And my head instantly clicked with the Spirit showing me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Mm-hmm. And I went in about Saul to Paul, that encounter, and how the persecution of God's children, he takes it personal. Mm-hmm. And that can mean anything. And I talked about, Ananias and Paul and, being, you know, he was blinded, but his eyes were opened, mm-hmm. and the spiritual meaning of that. And I talked about Stephen, the first martyr.
Yep.
Said
the evangelist Stephen.
Jesus was, that was the first time in Scripture, besides when the rapture of the church, when the second coming, that Jesus stands up. Mm-hmm. So Jesus stood up, welcomed him, and the last thing that Stephen said, one of the last things he said, was asking for God to forgive them. Mm-hmm. And same with Jesus. He asked God to forgive them. Mm-hmm. And then through the Spirit, Peter got to minister to the people that were responsible for the crucifixion of Christ. And they were forgiven. Jesus' prayer was answered. And then down the line, Stephen, his prayer was answered through Paul. But the thing I stuck on with Paul was, he told Ananias to go lay hands on him, and then he said, "For he has to see what he must suffer in my name." Mm. And that brought up the whole of my, you know, we go through these pains, the things we struggle with, the things we experience, the trials, the tribulations, and James counted joy, mm-hmm. and Romans, you know, character, perseverance, and the hope in the Holy Spirit that does not put us to shame. And it all just clicked. And for me, that's something that God just speaks so radically through for me, mm-hmm. because I experience it. Mm-hmm. And I never knew until like up there that day that Paul, the analogy of the spiritual, what it means spiritually, of he was blinded, but his eyes were open.
Right.
And then
but now he could see.
Yeah, he received the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and went on to do that. But I never realized, I will show him what he must suffer for my mm-hmm. name. And what came to me was that Saul, Paul, was trying to put out the fire, you know, this Holy Spirit fire that yeah. was Christianity that just set ablaze. He was trying to put it out and made him mad. He went to go follow the fire to Damascus. On the way to Damascus, and then there, through Ananias, he caught the fire, he caught the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and then he spread it. Mm-hmm. And it was just to have that revelation up there for myself, yeah. and then being able to share it.
God downloaded it.
And then having, you know, grown men, I had a 53-year-old guy come up to me, been going to the church for 6 years, yeah. and I mentioned something when you said, I came to you and I was like, dude, I want to come to Christ, but I don't want to be a poser, because mm-hmm. I couldn't, when I wasn't walking with God, I hated Christian posers. Like, yeah. I'm a Christian, but they look like the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And he said that spoke to him. He said, I've been coming to this church. I know the truth, but I'm a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. And he gave his life to God right then and there because he didn't want to be a hypocrite anymore.
For 6 years, this guy was there. And then, boom, the Holy Spirit gets him.
I started, I was like, let's pray together. Amazing? I said, God. He said, God. I said, and I started to go. And then he just took the prayer here and he knew. He repented. And he was like crying, good looking, sharp dressed dude. His wife and the kids were in the back. And it like just made me so pumped that going verse by verse through his word.
Yep.
And then putting drops of my testimony in there because they're real.
Yeah, yeah.
For, they will know by the Spirit and your testimonies.
Yeah, exactly.
And it like got me so excited. It just got me so excited because I've never done that.
All right, we're getting more ordained. Let's go. Get the tank.
Well, you know, that's one thing that I told.
Seriously,
yeah.
that is phenomenal. Awesome. That's so awesome that God is doing that in you.
I told her I never want to just give my testimony again. Just my testimony.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, just really quick, like, it's awesome because as you teach and stuff, you'll realize, as Christina knows too, as you teach, your testimony just weaves in and out. You pull little pieces, and it just they're little inserts.
Yeah.
So you go more biblical now from the testimony. You've done that, but now you're going more as far as biblical, like more teaching wise, and then the little inserts from the little pieces will always pop in here and there through whatever text you're doing.
Yeah.
Because that's that life application stuff.
Yeah.
Because you've been telling your testimony a long time, and now he's taking you to, you got your testimony, but now he's like, I'm going to take you into this other now realm of teaching with little pieces of the testimony. That's what's up.
Scary.
Christina, what you got? What you got?
Yeah. Well, you know, even like both of the Sunday morning services, like I was sitting in the back kind of observing the room, you know, as Austin was teaching, and even the first service, you have all these people that have never walked into church before. Like even the two homegirls in the back with the colored hair, I was just like, yeah, they've never been in church. And all these people, it's like, they didn't even know what to do. They were like, where do we sit? Like, do we stand during worship? Like these people are fresh off the street,
so
right?
Awesome.
And when he was just like, you know, hey, you know, give me a thumbs up if you want to receive Christ, you know, like the girls in the back, like one of them, you know, with the purple hair gave her a thumbs up to receive Christ.
Yep.
And even just seeing all of them stand in line and just like, you know, like coming up to Austin and like praying with them and just like praying with him and just pouring out their hearts. And because it was just so real and watching him do that, you know, whether it was like the retreat or that Sunday morning service, you would never know that that was his first rodeo, you know, like teaching, right? Mm-hmm. And seeing like, because, you know, sometimes when people, it's their first time, they're a little bit rocky, but you always could tell by the response.
Yeah.
And the response was people coming, like grown people, like sobbing, pouring out their hearts, him praying for them. And all these young, colorful people, like giving their lives to the Lord. And then second service, same thing. Like you could just see the fruit that it was so real. It was so raw. And even like too, I was like, I walked in because I went to the bathroom again. And I was like, wait, we're in Acts now for the second, you know, for the second service. But it was just like you would not like, and he just like pulled it out and it was like boom, 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 boom. Because I saw that transition in your life, Ryan, like when you were sharing your story to teaching, mm-hmm. even when you used to do the Shine events, and you just like, and I think that's just it, you guys are just sharing like the stories of Jesus. And I think, you know, and that's what I was telling Austin, like, you know, dude, like, you know, Ryan is ordained, Tom is ordained, and Jairus is ordained, but they don't fit the box of, you know, these things that this is, you know, a new avenue God's pushing you into, mm-hmm. where you could be who you are teaching the word. You don't have to be this like button up tie kind of pastor, mm-hmm. you know, or like teacher. And mm-hmm. so it was just really cool to see just like the lost find the Lord at 8:30 a.m. and like in Texas coming to Christ, and just the testimonies and even the in between,
all the in between stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of in between stuff too. Yeah.
No, I just mean from the couple that was with us and
the
new parents, newly married,
yeah.
and her being, you know, single forever, and me being newly married and
at the burger place. Remember right before? Okay, dude, so check this out. Okay, so dude, so the Lord, as soon as, I feel like every time we're on tour, the moment we land, the Lord just starts
Walmart,
moving.
The Walmart.
Okay, so I'll tell the Whataburger thing and you tell the Walmart thing. So this couple that was with us, right? Cool guys. They had like babies and they dropped their babies.
They had babies.
They were driving us around for a couple of days. So right before they dropped stuff at the airport, I was like in Whataburger. Shout out to Whataburger. You guys are actually
good. You guys like Whataburger?
Yeah, I mean,
told you to dunk everything in the gravy.
Yeah, it was my first time.
Okay, used to be,
it's not like, you know, but
the cheese is good there.
Yeah. So I'm in the I'll tell the story, but you have to tell the Walmart story because that was awesome. So it's always going to the bathroom. I'm in the bathroom. That seems to be the place the Lord speaks to me. I'm in the bathroom and I'm like washing my hands before we eat. And the Lord just like speaks to me. And we had been with this guy, you know, and his wife for like a couple days. And so we got to a chance to hear a lot of their lives. And this didn't come up in any of our conversation. We had gone out to eat with them. We had 3-hour drives with them. This had not come up at all. Right. And so I'm in the bathroom and the Lord just speaks to me and was like, Christina, he's praying about a transition with his job and a career thing. And you just need to let him know that I hear him and to just pray for him. I was like, that's very specific, Lord. Like if he's not in transition, I'm going to look really crazy. So I go in and sit down
as we're late for the airport.
Oh, this is on the way out.
Yeah. And I was just like, the random question, but I was like, are you praying about like transition from like job or like career? He's like, yes. There's so many, because him and his wife, he used to do a lot of ministry, you know, mm-hmm. but since I'm having babies, you know, stuff has changed, you know, priorities. They have like two like little guys. And he was just like, you know, I'm seeing a lot of my friends, you know, get hired at the church and all these different things. And I've asked the Lord, like, have you forgotten about me? And I have been, and he's like, I feel like my prayers like I haven't had my prayers being answered in that area. And I was like, well, cause he wants to transition jobs in his career to like, I guess, go back to serve the Lord. And I was like, well, through this, obviously the Lord's telling you that he hears you. Okay, my friend. Yeah. And it's coming. So we got a chance to pray for him. And so for me, I walked away and I was like, man, Lord, like you're awesome. That you would just, it was so simple. And sometimes those small impressions, like, it's really God's heart, like right before, you know, and I, you know, love this couple so much. And it's just really God moving our hearts for them right before we leave, like that God sees you. Yeah. And sometimes we just got to take those steps of faith. And I was like, if this is wrong, then I'm going to like, who just asked someone after knowing them for 2 days, like, are you like in a career change?
But what's the worst that could happen?
Right? I know it's true.
Right? No, say, okay, maybe I didn't hear right. But when you step out and it happens, you're like, perfect.
Yeah.
I have a question. Is he a young guy?
Early 30s, late 20s.
Is he Matt's friend?
No.
What's his name? Do we remember his name?
Isaac.
Was it Isaac or Isaiah?
Isaac.
That's Matt's friend.
Yeah.
And he had a bunch of kids.
What, he had two
babies?
Yeah, I think so. He's like, he's one of Matt's friends, right?
Yeah.
But a Mexican dude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him. He was on our first tour. Him and Matt picked me up.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And then he got a bunch of kids and he kind of came out of ministry. So last time I was there, I saw him like for a minute, but because he had all the kids and all that stuff, pulled him out. So that's him. That's awesome, dude. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I toured with him there.
Yeah.
Good guy.
He was really cool. Yeah. We loved
him. And him were super sweet.
Yeah. They were
awesome.
Okay.
That's so awesome that's him.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
It's always those in between things too. That's.
Oh, for sure.
Living it out, you know, it's like we don't just turn off the gospel. You know, the Chick-fil-A in line right as before I came here. Her name was Melissa. She came and saw when I first spoke here at Diamond Bar.
Yeah,
she was like, I remember that bar. I was like, why don't you, do you go there? She's like, no. It's like, well, I live here now. Why don't you go? Really? I was like, yeah, come Sunday. Okay.
Dude, like, see just, it? Just like that.
Those little things. And not everyone's called. That's, you know, my wife's always like, just order and let's go. But God draws a circle, you know.
Yeah. That's what Isaiah was saying, because me and Isaiah are very much like, we got to go, we got to go. And his wife's very like,
and me making my four sandwiches.
I know. So me, you, and Maddie and Isaiah are the same, like, let's go, let's go. And you guys are like, yeah. But dude, tell the Walmart story.
So this could be we have five minutes.
Super
left.
Quick.
No, it's right. We have 5 minutes.
We
as soon as we land.
Yeah, we land. We go to Walmart because I'm shot. She's like, let's get you some throat coat. As soon as we walk in, there's a guy in like a cart.
Yeah.
And he stops and he goes to me. What did he say? You're a cool guy. Or you're a pretty cool guy. And I was like, what did I say? Oh, I was like, thanks. But the only thing cool you see about me is Jesus, I promise, or something. And he's like, yeah. And he drove away.
On his cart.
On his cart. And that was it. And then just minutes later, he finds us, and he's been dealing with the years dilemma of he stepped away from the church and ministry because he saw idolatry.
He was
and
a pastor too.
Sexual immorality and all these things within the church that drove him away from it.
Yep.
Because he had never experienced Christ. Because if you experience Christ, you see that those are – Christ is the head of the body, and right. the head makes the whole body in unity. Right. It all works the same.
Right.
And those contradictions and those things, like those are things that point people away.
He was getting his eyes on off of God, who God is perfect, but then he was getting his eyes on the flaws, which are not, these are not right, to be clear, but mm-hmm. you don't leave God because people fail you. God will never fail you.
Yep. And so and he got away. Into like Judaism, and he was like trying to say like certain scriptures were fake, and like showing how this is all like unreal and untrue. And if you go down that, you can go,
yeah,
you could argue for hours. And yeah. I was just like, okay, just hearing him out. And we prayed for him, and he was like, his wife kept coming, like, come on, we gotta go, come on, we gotta go. Yeah. But he just, the before and after, just so much softer, because mm-hmm. you could see that. He saw, even if it was just like that, like that was the spirit that saw.
Yeah.
And the spirit, who knows where that seed goes.
Yeah.
You know, I even texted him for him to come. Uh-huh. But you know me, I don't get my number out.
Yeah.
And because I wanted him to come, but you never know where that seed is going to go and where yeah. God puts that and plants that. And that's why we're called to be the salt, to be the light, not mm-hmm. just to put it on as like a shirt. And when we go out of the house, mm-hmm. we're supposed to be it, walk it out, live it, because you never know who's going to see and who needs to see.
The parable of the seeds. You just throw the seeds out. Some take root. Some die out. You know, mm-hmm. it's just, but God's the one that brings the increase. And you said that little seed, Jesus, and he takes off in his little cart, comes back. You know, he's this Holy Spirit.
We were far from this, like where we first
met
him.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. And he just was talking about how he had, like, you know, because he used to be a pastor, and he said he used to do worship. And he could just see there was like a lot of hurt there. So mm-hmm. I basically just like called it out. I was like, listen, man, you've been hurt, but people are a reflection of Christ. And yeah. you cannot use that as an excuse, because he's basically, that's it. This whole thing now, people are trying to like deconstruct their faith. It's because they've seen crazy stuff, right? Yeah. Or experienced stuff. But it's like, listen, man, like your image of church is a burned down building, but like Christ, like we are the church, and Christ isn't, or like, it's almost like this. For example, someone could come into my house and totally misrepresent who I am when people come into my house, but that person misrepresenting me isn't me.
Isn't you.
Yeah. And that's the same thing with oftentimes in God's house. Like sometimes mm-hmm. people, as flawed and as broken as they are, can misrepresent who Christ is, but that's not Christ. And so I just went straight forward. I was like, listen, man, like people have misrepresented the Lord in your life, but I'm just going to pray that God encounters you. So we prayed for him, and he was choking up. Like mm-hmm. you could see, because there's a reason why he like followed us and was trying to like be heard. It was like, he just was hurt, you know? And so it was just cool to see, like, it was like God's spirit encountered him, because he was on this whole like Judaism kick. And we just took the time to just love on him, you know? And I was just like, dude, he just needed an encounter with the Lord. And I believe the Lord.
And yeah. that's what everyone needs.
Yeah.
Is to know that Jesus wants to encounter them where they are mm-hmm. and whatever hurt they have. He loves us.
Mm-hmm.
He was sent on a mission. Christianity is the only faith where the hand's already been extended. Yeah. That came to me. The hand's already there. And we just have to step into it and accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you said not a reflection, because
yeah.
back then people said that's a Christian because of how they acted.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's, I'm a Christian, but they don't act it out. Mm-hmm. And it got flipped.
Mm-hmm.
So don't ever base your what you think Christianity and Jesus is, and God are, based on a person. Mm-hmm. That's for you to experience with him and then step into it, because he is so far beyond all of the flaws and everything that we are.
And then that's well said. And we're going to wrap this show up, guys. This was phenomenal. Yeah, it's already time. I know. When you party, it goes fast. It's always like that, especially when you get like good friends in the studio. All right. Well, hey, go to thewhosoevers.com. Book us to come out. We want to bring the Great Commission. Go to YouTube, The Whosoevers or Ryan Reese. Get this show and share it with your friends. I love you guys. Peace.
This has been The Ryan Reese Show. To connect and find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for The Ryan Reese Show.
these EPs find their way into the hands of Chris Tomlin. And so we got this email out of the blue that, well, he was inviting us to go on this major arena tour of the United States. And at that time we were like, well, we're not even really a band. Do we tell him we're not a band?
Chris Llewellyn from Ren Collective shares some of his life story on The Walk, a podcast for worshipers. Join us to hear conversations and devotionals from the artists of the church. Find The Walk on lifeaudio.com, worshipleader.com, or your favorite podcast platform.